listening to the Miracle Word Podcast. We believe that the Word of God gives you the power to experience never-ending increase in every area. If you're ready for revelation that will take you to the next level, you're in the right place. Here's your host, evangelist, author, and founder of Miracle Word University, Ted Shuttlesworth Jr.
Hey everybody, I want to welcome you to this brand new series that we're going to be doing on divine healing. And this being the first session, I want to give you just a few books to supplement this study of divine healing for your library. Things that I think every believer should have in their library. Four books that really have changed my life in regard to the subject of divine healing. And these are obviously from great men of God who saw healing manifested in their ministries throughout their lives. So let me give you those first, and then we're going to jump in today, and I'm going to give you some really, really foundational teaching to understand. When we start this talk about divine healing, we don't just go directly into talking about how to receive healing and how to minister healing to others. There's some very important things that I want to teach you first that will give you a strong foundation to understand why it's so important that we do believe in divine healing, seek divine healing, and minister divine healing. So let me give you the books first. Number one is Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. This is a man who saw so many healing miracles in his ministry and affected other ministers as well. He impacted other ministers that came on after him, like T.L. Osborne. And so that book, Christ the Healer, not only do we have it in Bible school, it's just, it's a phenomenal study on the subject of healing. And if you've ever heard me use that phrase, when Jesus came down off the cross, your sins stayed on the cross. When he came down, your sicknesses stayed up. That quote is from F.F. Bosworth, and that content is from Christ the Healer. So number two, Healing the Sick by T.L. Osborne. This is a classic. In fact, this book was written in multiple parts and then later made into one large volume. If you don't own Healing the Sick by Dr. T.L. Osborne, I would recommend that you get it as soon as possible. It is without a doubt a classic. One of the books that really changed my life, when we used to travel with R.W. Shambach, he would carry several of A.A. Allen's books in his bookstore on the road, and one of them was this book, God's Guarantee to Heal You. God's Guarantee to Heal You. Brother Allen, one of the greatest healing ministers we've ever seen during the Voice of Healing, under those tents, seeing so many creative miracles and things that were so, Brother Shambach said, the greatest miracle he ever saw in his entire life, and he was a healing minister, he saw under Brother Allen's tent. They brought a baby to be healed, and that baby had 26 diseases, 26 things wrong. And Brother Shambach said, when Brother Allen started praying for him, I didn't close my eyes, I kept them open. And every one of those 26 things was healed. This man of God saw so many miracles in his life and ministry, A.A. Allen. And the book is called God's Guarantee to Heal You. And then finally, a book that's not necessarily about healing specifically, but you have to understand this concept to walk in divine healing and health and continue to take authority over the devil and the attacks of the devil. And that's the book, The Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin. That's a book that's gone around the world. It's very vital. If you don't have it, it's a small book, it's a short read, but it's opened so many people's eyes to understanding we have authority over the devil, that we don't just have to take attacks from the enemy as they come, that we can stand against every attack of the enemy and have authority and have victory in every area of our lives. So those four books would be foundational and very helpful to you. I would encourage you to get those in your library as we're doing this study on divine healing. So in this first video that we're going to do today, There's two areas that I really want to cover with you, and that's number one, the origin of the human body, the origin of your human body, and then the origin of sickness and disease. And so that's what we're going to jump into as we start this first week. So in this first video, let's look at this topic of the origin of the human body. And you might be wondering, you know, why don't we just jump into how to receive healing, or if there are roadblocks to healing, or, you know, how to minister healing to others. This first topic is so important that you get it, you understand it. And there's a reason for it. I'm going to show you in a moment, but the origin of the human body. Remember something, God created the human body. God created the human body. And as we understand that, I always tell people it's important to understand the intention of the Creator. The intention of the Creator. And right at the beginning, when you realize how God created the human body, it opens your eyes to what God wanted in the human body. So remember this. Number one, if you're taking notes, God created you in His likeness and in His image. The Bible says so. God created you in His likeness and in His image. Go to Genesis chapter 1, and let's look at this verse of Scripture. Genesis chapter 1, and let's read verses 26 and verse 27. The Bible says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" Look at verse 27. "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." So let me stop there, just those two verses. So one of the things that I want you to see, God has never been sick. God has never been sick throughout all of eternity. When He created Adam and when He created Eve, He did not create them as sick beings. He created them in His likeness and in His image. They were strong. They were healthy. And of course, if you understand the beginning, they were eternal beings until sin entered into the world. So look at the Creator's original intention. His original intention was to create people for Himself that were strong, that were healthy, that had no relationship with sickness or disease or even death. Think about that. No relationship with sickness, disease, or even death. He created strong, healthy, eternal beings in His likeness and in His image. So that's God's intention. Many people will look at that and say, well, is God's image just your spirit man? No, it's not your spirit man only. In fact, the Bible tells us that man's body is also created in the image of God. Man's physical body is also created in the image of God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 9. I want to show you that. Genesis chapter 9, and let's look at verse number 6. The Bible says, Genesis 9, 6, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed." Why? "For God made man in His own image." So look at that. There's a punishment for shedding the blood of man. Now that's natural. That's the physical body. Your soul doesn't bleed. Your spirit doesn't bleed. Your physical body is the only part of you that bleeds. And God is saying here that I'm going to enact a punishment against those who shed human blood. Why? Because the body, that part of man, is also made in God's own image. If you remember the stories with Adam and Eve, the Bible says God would come down from heaven and he would walk and talk with them in the garden in the cool of the day. So walking around in that same image, in that same likeness, walking around with man in the garden in the cool of the day. So God is saying here in Genesis 9:6 that if man's blood is shed, there'll be a punishment, because what you're doing is you're damaging something, the human body, that was created in the likeness and the image of God. So God is interested not just in your spirit. He's interested not just in your soul. He's interested in your physical body. He created your physical body. So when God created Adam, think about this. He blew the breath of life, or the Holy Spirit, into that body that he made out of the dirt or the dust of the earth. He created that body first, and then he blew the breath of life into that body. And Adam became a living being. So I want you to see this with me. This is the same spirit that raised Christ up from the dead. Same spirit that raised Christ up from the dead. And because this is the spirit that raised life from the dead, Adam had within him a life-giving spirit. A life-giving spirit. So watch this. I love this. This is one of my favorite things, especially when speaking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Adam was a man who was created to be fully strong, fully healthy, eternal, really, and then had the breath of life blown into his body, which made him a living being. So think of these three things right here that redemption also shows us. Number one, Adam was a man without sin. There's God's original intention. A people without sin. Adam was also not sick, and he was not diseased. He was an eternal man. There's God's intention. His people not be sick, not be diseased, and be eternal. Which is why we're also going to have glorified bodies. Because I want you to remember something. God doesn't just want your spirit to live forever. He doesn't just want your soul, your mind, your will, and the emotions to live forever, but he's even going to glorify this old body. That's why the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise out of their graves at the rapture. Why? Aren't they already in heaven? Yes. Their spirit man is in heaven. Their soul. But God's not satisfied. He created a three-part being. So he's not satisfied with just your spirit and your soul being eternal. He's going to resurrect and glorify your physical body. The Bible says those of us that are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. Very powerful. So look at this now. Adam was in right standing with God, no sin, perfect. He was not sick. He was not diseased. And then number three, and we taught on this in our course on divine prosperity, he had more than enough in every area. God wouldn't even create a man until he had created a garden and all the resources and all the animals to sustain him. And so here's a man without sin, without sickness, and without poverty. And here's the other thing. Here's a man full of God's Spirit. The breath of life came into Adam, which is what made him a living being. A sinless man full of God's Spirit. Powerful. The reason I'm showing you this first is because you can clearly see now that it was never God's intention, ever. It was never God's intention that people be sick. Never. So, and the reason I say that is because there are some who would teach you that if you get sick, it's because it's God's will for you. It's God's plan for you. It's not God's plan. In fact, God didn't even create sickness or disease. It came into the earth through sin, which we'll talk about in a moment. But I want you to see this. God's original intention at creation is proof to you and proof to me that God's not the author of sickness and disease, and it's not his desire that sickness and disease be in your life. This is important. Because one, and we'll talk about this throughout the course, but as you understand this one concept, this is so powerful that you get this, you can never be lied into believing that what you're dealing with is God's plan. Ever. I don't care what preacher preaches it. I don't care what commentary says it. You can understand just by God's original intention at creation that it's not God's plan for you to ever be sick, ever be diseased. It is not God's plan for his children to be that way. So what does that do? It gives you clarity of thought that when there is an attack that comes against your body, you never have to wonder, well, should I just ask God to strengthen me to deal with this because it's his plan and he's teaching me something? Or should I stand against it by faith, knowing it's an attack of the enemy? You never have to wonder that. It's always an attack of the enemy because God's original intention for man was that they be free from sickness, free from disease, and strong and healthy in their bodies. That is the power of understanding the origin of the human body. But what about the origin of sickness and disease? That's what we're going to cover now. What about the origin of sickness and disease? Because that's also important to understand. Not just the origin of the human body, but the origin of sickness and disease. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Well, let's look at the book of Romans, chapter 5, and verse number 12. Romans 5, 12. The reason I say that it's important to understand the origin of sickness and disease, again, let me drive this point home. You have to recognize that sickness is an evil thing. I'm not saying that people that have sickness are evil. I'm saying sickness in and of itself is evil. It's wicked because it is a contradiction of God's original intention. It's a contradiction of God's original intention. When you understand that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, then anything that attacks that temple, anything that comes against, do you know in the Old Testament, there was a wicked king named Sennacherib who told King Hezekiah, who was king of Judah, God's people, I'm going to come into your nation and tear your temples down and destroy your temples. Those were just buildings at the time. But God would not even allow that. Didn't matter they were outnumbered, 185,000 soldiers. God sent an angel to kill every last soldier that would come in to destroy his temple and his people. So if God's not even going to let his buildings be destroyed in the Old Testament, then he's got no plans for your body, his temple that he dwells in, to be destroyed. That's not his plan. And when you hear people teach that, it is a wicked, wicked thing to teach people that God sends sickness upon some people to teach them a lesson, to get them to fully trust in him. Look at what the Bible says in Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Look at that. All sinned. So I want you to catch this now. Not only did sin come into the world through one man, but the Bible says because sin came into the world, death also came into the world. I'm going to give you this quote. I want you to write it down. Death is just sickness matured. Death is just sickness matured. We didn't see sickness in the world until sin entered into the world. Sin and death and sickness entered in at the same time. All of them works of the devil. Every last one, works of the devil. Let me just say this so that you know it in your spirit for the rest of your life. Sickness always comes from the devil and never comes from God. I'm going to say it one more time. Sickness always comes from the devil and never comes from God. Let me give you a few passages of scripture. Job chapter 2 and verse number 7. Look at this. Job 2 and verse 7. People say, well, look what God did to Job. No, Job 2:7. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. You see that? Who did it? Did God do it? No. Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job. It's not God doing it. It was Satan doing it. Look at Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of who? The devil. For the Lord was with him. Notice who did the healing? Jesus. Notice who did the oppressing? Satan. Satan is the oppressor. Christ is the healer. Satan is the oppressor. Christ is the healer. Praise God. Now, here's an interesting passage. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 16. The Bible says, now, of course, if you know this story, it's the story of Jesus going into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and coming in contact with a woman who was bent over double. She was crippled. The Bible says she has a disabling spirit for 18 years. And when Jesus encountered her, he said, I've got to heal her. And notice what he says in verse 16. This is Luke 13:16. He said, and ought not this woman, who's a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these 18 years. You see that? Satan is bound, be loosed from the bonds on this Sabbath day. Notice what he's saying. I have covenant with this woman. She's a daughter of Abraham. But Satan's been binding her with a disabling spirit for 18 years. It's not right, Jesus says. It is not right. This is the first time Jesus was ever made aware of it that we know. And as soon as he was made aware of it, he healed her. Didn't matter that he was breaking the law by working on the Sabbath. Did not matter. Here's a woman with covenant and Satan's been attacking her and I'm here to heal her. It's not right that she be sick. She's in covenant with me. What did Jesus say regarding his own ministry? Luke chapter 4. Let's look at that quickly. Luke chapter 4. This will help you. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Same thing Acts 10:38 is saying, to set at liberty those that are oppressed. It's very important that you understand Satan's the one binding and oppressing. Christ is the one healing and setting people free. Yeah. So notice, even sin against the law, like if you go back to the law of Moses, let's go to Deuteronomy 28. If you go all the way back to Deuteronomy 28, one of the things that sin would bring into people's lives, even in the old covenant, was sickness. Sin would bring sickness into people's lives. If you start to read the curses of the law, well, how did the curses come? Through disobedience to God's instruction. Sin brought a curse of sickness, Deuteronomy 15. But if you'll not obey the voice of the Lord your God and be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Go to verse 22. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, fever, inflammation, fiery heat, drought, with blight, mildew. They'll pursue you until you perish. I mean, you can go all the way down, but I want to direct your attention to one verse in this passage, because God gives us here a loophole, because all the sicknesses, all the diseases that exist today didn't exist back then when the Bible was being written. There's no mention of cancer in Deuteronomy 28. There's no mention of COVID in Deuteronomy 28, but God gives us a loophole. In the 61st verse, the Bible says, every sickness and every affliction that is recorded in this book of the law, the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. Look at that. every sickness and every affliction that is not recorded in this book of the law. So God gives us a loophole, because what does the Bible say in Galatians 3? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Praise God. The curse of the law includes every sickness and every disease that is not named. Is not named. Glory to God. I'll tell you something that's very interesting. When you study Scripture, when you interpret Scripture, and if you've ever been a part of our course called Bible Study Made Simple, you'll know this. When you study Scripture, when you interpret Scripture, it has to line up with all of the rest of the Scripture of the Bible. The Bible is not going to contradict itself. It doesn't work against itself. And so one of the things you need to recognize is God is never in partnership with the devil. Never in partnership with the devil. And one of the things that it's important to understand when you read passages like this is that God is never the author of sickness or disease, ever. He's never working with Satan to make people sick, ever. But disobedience, sin, can open the door to sickness in your life, which we'll talk about in this series. But one of the things that you need to see that was very helpful to people to know, that in the original Hebrew here, this was brought on, and I remember it was included. Brother Hagin used to mention this often, and this is something that was included in study Bibles, even during his day, that the Hebrew words here for shall cause or shall bring upon is to allow. It's the permissive sense of the Hebrew, shall allow sickness and disease to come upon you. Well, how do you know that's true? Because he's the same people in Exodus, he said to them, I'm the Lord that heals you. I'll put none of these diseases upon you. None of these diseases shall come upon you. I'm the Lord that heals you. So did he change his mind? No, God does not change. He's the same. That's the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3. He said, I am the same. I do not change. God's nature doesn't change. His character doesn't change. His mind doesn't change. So the same God that told them in Exodus, I'm the Lord that heals you. I'll put none of these diseases upon you. He didn't change his mind by the time we got to Deuteronomy and say, now I will put these diseases upon you. No, he said, if you disobey me, then the curse comes upon you. The curse comes upon you. And these sicknesses, these diseases come upon you. It's the attack of the devil. You know what's interesting? That when Satan is bound during the millennium, 1,000 years, rule of reign of Christ, when Satan's bound, there'll be no sickness. There'll be no disease. No sickness and no disease. It's powerful. Jesus rebuked sickness in his ministry the same way he rebuked demon spirits. Why? Because sickness is a work of the devil, as I've covered. Sickness is a work of the devil. He would rebuke it. In fact, let's look at that. Luke 4, real quick, verses 35 and 39. I want you to get this in your spirit so you know for the rest of your life, if I'm under attack, it's never something sent from God. It's an attack of the devil. Luke 4:35, look at this. The Bible says, Jesus rebuked this man who had a demon spirit. It's Jesus rebuked him saying, be silent, come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him on down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. Now, look at verse 39, because here we are, and Jesus is healing sickness, a fever that had come upon Peter's mother-in-law. Look what he says here. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose again. She didn't have a demon spirit like the man just a few verses before. But notice, he rebuked the demon, but then a few verses later, he rebuked the fever. So he dealt with sicknesses in the same way that he dealt with demon spirits, because the origin is the same, wicked spirits. Now, I'm not saying that every person that has sickness is being afflicted by a demon spirit, but I will tell you this interesting fact. There are spirits of infirmity. And if you study the individual miracles that Jesus performed in the Gospels, what you'll find, and I've done this study, my father did this study, you'll find that one out of every three people that Jesus healed in the Gospels, he had to first deal with a spirit that was afflicting them. So it's not always the result of a spirit of infirmity or some kind of a spirit, but sometimes it is. And in fact, there were specific sins in the Bible that brought upon sickness and disease. So one of the things that we'll deal with in this series is the power of holiness in keeping you from sickness and disease. But I wanted you to see these two things first at the very beginning of this series, that number one, that the origin of the human body is it's God's creation and has, from the beginning, it was his intention to never put or for you to be sick or diseased and never to put sickness or disease on you. And then number two, as we just looked at, that the origin of sickness and disease came through sin as it entered into the world. So before we go, I want to, number one, pray. I don't know, you might be dealing with sickness or disease in your body right now. And I want to stand with you in faith, even through this entire series, and believe God that whatever has come against you, whatever's been attacking you, that God's going to heal you. God's going to touch you by his supernatural power. Father, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would touch them. Let their physical body receive healing virtue right now. I pray that every sickness, every disease that's tried to come upon them would be destroyed by the power of your spirit. I thank you, Lord, that their testimony will quickly come to pass. In their hand, they'll hold their mighty testimony. I give you thanks for that, Lord. I give you praise that you are great and you are greatly to be praised. Your good and your mercy endures forever. We give you honor. We give you glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now listen, I'm encouraging you tonight to sow a seed into this ministry. Maybe if you're part of Miracle Word Church, you're giving your tithes. Those of you that have been blessed by this ministry, you're sowing a seed, you're giving an offering. And for everybody that is sowing, I want to put this in your hand this month, this book from Pastor Mark Hankins, Never Run at Your Giant with Your Mouth Shut. Never run at your giant with your mouth shut. There's a spirit of faith that releases by speaking the word of God. You got to speak like David did. He refused to stay silent. Even when Goliath was trash-talking him, he stood up and began to speak faith in the face of Goliath. You know what's interesting is that he said things to Goliath that seemed impossible in that moment. Seemed impossible. It's because he was speaking by faith. That's why he did it. Faith always speaks. And in this month, I'm believing God that we're going to see the manifestations of our faith quickly come to pass.
Now that's the stuff leaders should be made of.